It's actually an honor and privilege to be here. It's a bit humbling because of the efforts that's actually going on within the United Nations. It's wonderful to see the international community taking a look at the fact that torture or using coercive methods is illegal and immoral, but it is also ineffective and actually counterproductive. The public generally doesn't understand the truth behind torture. And how actually debilitating it is, not just to the human being tortured, but to the intelligence cycle. It produces tainted evidence and corrupted intelligence, and policymakers then can make flawed decisions based on fabricated information. So it's really a road we need never go down again.
And tell us how that has played out. I mean, you say that it is counterproductive. Can you give examples of how that's been the case?
The example that I think is most prominent is there was an emir of an al-Qaeda training camp named Ibn Sheikh al-Libi. And al-Libi was rendered to a country and he was tortured in that country. And Ibn Sheikh al-Libi gave information, claimed there was al-Qaeda in Iraq, at a time when the U.S. was looking at possibly going to war with Iraq. And that information was false and fabricated. And Colin Powell came here to the United Nations, and his speech to the United Nations, part of the justification that was used to go to war with Iraq was the fact there was al-Qaeda in Iraq. And that was totally fabricated information. And Ibn Sheikh al-Libi later admitted that information was fabricated. He said it so the pain would stop. He told his abusers what they wanted to hear. And so we went to war on a false premise. And in Iraq, hundreds of thousands of lives have been lost. American blood has been shed. The international community blood has been shed over a justification that was in part based on fabricated information. So the consequences will be with us for decades.
What about citizens who say, well, we have to get this information, we have to protect our countries by any means necessary, and it is justified for our security forces, etc., to get that information however they need to?
And that is why my book is called Unjustifiable Means, because why would you want bad information faster? And so there's no evidence that establishes that the infliction of pain or suffering, human degradation, would actually produce reliable information. The fact is, it actually produces fabricated information. So in the interest of national security, if you want to forget about the human rights issue, if you want to forget about anything else about legality or morals, it produces bad information. So there's no reason to ever go down that road.
Could you tell us about some of the better methods of information gathering that would provide the necessary information that investigators would need?
Yeah, that's a great question. And so what has happened in the United States is that when we recognized we were getting bad information, still when President Bush was the president, in the United States there was a science board, and they looked at why we were getting this bad information, why we didn't know how to do this better. And what they found was, in the United States, it had been more than 50 years since they did any evidence-based research into why someone would tell us the truth, why we would need that information for our public safety or national security. And when President Obama became president, in his second day at office, he issued an executive order and said, we will not torture. We will adhere to our obligations under the Convention Against Torture and international law and the U.S. Constitution. But he went further. He said, we need to research the best methods to elicit accurate, reliable information to protect our national security. And so since that time, there has been over 100 evidence-based research projects peer-reviewed around the world, globally, not in the United States, some is in the United States, but you know, in Sweden and England and Australia and New Zealand. And what these studies have found was that the best method to elicit information from someone are what we call rapport-based approaches. Now that's what we always had done. And as a former federal agent, we reverted to that over the years because we found that to be effective. What we found since then is the science validates that. It validates some of the things that we were doing were very effective. It also has told us some of the things that we were doing, we were not as effective as they thought they were. And so now, in law enforcement, not just in the United States, but globally, we're having to kind of recognize the fact that some of the practices we've had might be producing false confessions. And so there's a great movement underway, and that's why I'm so happy to be here at the United Nations, because Assistant Secretary Generals and they're looking at developing universal standards so that we're ensuring that we're getting good information, and that protects the public safety, national security, global stability. But flawed information is just what we need to avoid, and we need to practice techniques that will actually protect the public.
Given all that's happening in the world, I mean, there's constant turmoil and not just conflict itself, but also what's happening with the natural environment and disasters. Why should the average person be concerned about how terrorism suspects are being treated?
I was the commander of the USS Cole Task Force for the Naval Criminal Investigative Service. And at the time when the USS Cole was attacked on the 12th of October 2000, if you looked at the numbers of bona fide al-Qaeda members, it might range between 200 and 400 people. And so if we look at the tactics that we applied, look at how global violent extremism has proliferated around the world. We now have tens of thousands of terrorists out there. So from a strategic perspective, rather than diminishing the number of people who want to attack us, it has grown proportionately. And so the greatest threat, at least in the United States, to our national security and what I would argue global stability might have been the application of torture to human beings, because that became a rallying cry. It became an incitement for people to join it, emboldened terrorists. It created terrorist financing. So the fact that we dehumanized and degraded a population of people has made us less safe.